Hello and welcome. This is the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I am Ben, and I'm here with Derek.
Hello.
Hey, Derek, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm testing out a new mic this week, recommended to me
by
my good friend Ben Robin. And
yeah, do you know who I heard about that?
How?
Shout out to the Rugged Marriage. Thank you, guys.
Oh, that's right. Nice. Yeah, I saw their tweet then later after you told us about it in the Slack. And yeah, apparently it sounds delightful, so I will have to listen to it as I edit this week.
Yes, it does. Your audio sounds excellent, my friend. I'm also here with Craig.
Hey, how you going, Ben? How you going, Derek?
Good.
Doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm over the flu, which is awesome because that sucked.
Good.
And I am also trying my best to not suffer from or struggle with microphone envy. Derek sounds amazingly smooth. The dulcet tones of Derek Maas, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to the Tech Reformation.
It's just a pleasure.
That's how you should talk the whole episode.
All right.
I think we found our new promo voice.
Yeah. And I'm also here with Tank.
Hello.
Did you get any donuts this week?
Donuts? No. No. Oh, yes, actually. Not the daylight donuts kind, but the packaged donuts. Donettes, I suppose.
The little small, that does
chocolate
not sound very
powdered.
Good.
No, I like them. I like all things donut. Or Ollie Cook, if you're wondering, and if you've ever wanted to use a different name for them.
Wait,
what?
Ollie Cook. OLICOOK. It's a donut.
Really?
Oh.
What is that? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think one time I was looking up the spelling of donut, D-O-N-U-T versus D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T.
Ah.
And it was like,
right.
That spelling's good, the other spelling's good, and Ollie Cook also works. Like, what?
As in, Ollie, can you spell it one
Is
more time?
Is that some ancient version of, I don't even know how they got there from here. Hear from there.
Looking it up on it's OLICOOK. Looking it up on dictionary.com, it says a noun, Hudson Valley. The one number one definition is donut, and there's no number two.
I've never heard this before.
I have a love hate relationship with donuts, I gotta admit. This might get me banned from the podcast, but I used to work at a company that we had this sort of unofficial rule where if you were running late or it was your birthday, then you had to buy donuts for everyone else on the team. I think it was a team of about 12 people. So it kind of got expensive because they were big chocolate donuts, but they were really good. There was a bakery around the corner that was awesome. But there was a few times where someone would be late and it would be someone else's birthday. So we'd have double donut day, we called it.
Wow.
And that sounds amazing. But usually we would eat the two donuts right, like one after the other in the same sitting because we were trying to get back to work and whatever. So after a few double donut days, I kind of grew to not like the donuts as much. But maybe if I called them Ollie Cook, it would have been different. I don't know.
It wouldn't have been an alliteration, though.
No, that's true.
All right, let's get into Tech You Should Know this week. Got quite a bit of Google news, some Apple tidbits, and some random stuff, which should be of interest to our listeners. First off, we'll start with Google. Google has rebranded their logo, which is pretty interesting. It looks to me like it was drawn with crayons, honestly, but I don't know. Craig, what do you think about their new logo?
So a couple of things. I think I don't like it, mainly probably because I don't like change a lot of the time. So it's gone from the serif font to the sans serif, which in some ways I guess modernizes it, but it does definitely feel kiddie or childish or something. And I'm thinking that's maybe to do with the Alphabet brand, you know, changeover, maybe because Alphabet is, you know, the Alphabet in terms of learning the alphabet and stuff is generally sort of child focused. We all use the alphabet, but obviously when, it's kind of a word that's associated with the education and children and stuff. So I wonder if they're kind of trying to play to that, you know, we're fun, we're learning, we're about learning, we're about education, we're about all that kind of stuff. I wonder if that's where it came from. But I look at it and go, I'll get used to it. But at this point, I kind of just want the Google logo back.
Yeah, that's kind of scary that Google's targeting kids now. They already know so much about me. I don't know if I want them to know about my kids. I don't have kids yet, but when I do, not. I think I'll care.
I could be interpreting the design wrong, but, you know, that's kind of, that's what I thought.
I don't think it... Yeah, I think I completely disagree with you, because this is just basically a continuation of the trend for everyone to start going flat with their logos and with their design. Like, you saw it first with Windows, with Metro, and then... Apple did it, or did Apple? Yeah, Apple did it, and then Google went to Material, which is also very flat.
iOS 7. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think there's a difference between. I agree. I think there's a difference though between flat design and actual design decisions that change the overall look and feel. So, like flat design is like a color and like 3D versus 2D contrast, like difference. Whereas I think what makes it feel kiddie is the sans serif, like the, you know, having the lack of serifs just feels a lot simpler, and also the E being kind of tilted, it's just I just feel like they're trying to do quirky. So I'm not saying they're aiming things at kids and they're trying to be kid focused. I just think they're maybe trying to bring a little bit more youth into the brand from a design perspective, but you know, that's my opinion anyway. Whatever. I agree with you, Derek, though. I think it is flatter, and I can see the reason for modernizing it that way as well.
Yeah,
I think the E has always been tilted.
Has it really?
I just think we've never noticed until they did the little finger push.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it always has been tilted.
Cool.
Yep. I'm looking at
my mind when I found that out. All of them.
Just shows how we're not that observant, hey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the truth. Also from Google this week, their self-driving cars project is moving to Austin. They have, I think, rolled about 300,000 miles, it's probably more than that now, of accidentless car driving, auto driving, and now they're moving to Austin to do more testing. Additionally, they are coming out with a standalone Street View app for iPhone, which I think could be pretty big, as they are sort of documenting what Street View looks like around the world, because now you should be able to post up to that from your iPhone, which could expand their capabilities in that department quite a bit.
Just on the driverless car thing, apparently I saw a news article recently saying the first driverless car testing in the Southern Hemisphere is happening in my city. Actually in the southern suburbs of my city, so it's kind of really quite close to me. It's about half an hour away. So I'm pretty keen to go and check out the testing. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to watch it or something, but I'm interested to see how that goes. And it's on a highway, like on an expressway, they call it. So I'm assuming they'll be shutting it down to the general public while they do the testing, but I would like to sort of check it out. I think it'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
I am very pro driverless cars, so we'll probably do an episode on that point, too. Also from Google this week, Google Chrome. They've made big changes to Google Chrome to save your battery. And that has been one of the complaints about Chrome on a desktop, is that it just eats up battery. So this should be a pretty big and welcome change. Right, yeah, on a laptop, sorry. What did I say?
A desktop. Less battery. It's early morning, so it's...
I can't be held accountable. It's early morning again. And finally from Google, Android Wear, which is their wearable or their watch technology, is coming to iPhone, which is pretty big news for those of us who are not keen on the Apple Watch yet.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I wonder exactly how they're going to integrate it, because I don't see, the thing is, all these systems are so separate, and well, I mean, I guess Apple could pretty easily make an app that integrates well with the Android operating system if they really wanted to, but not so much the other way around. I mean, that's been kind of Pebble's issue, though they've done some pretty great things with Pebble. But what's that?
I think they built an Android Wear app, just like the Apple Watch app for iPhone. Except the Apple Watch app you can't get rid of because Apple hates everyone.
Well, and with the Apple Watch, you have a lot more integrations with Siri directly on the phone and everything. And
true.
Messaging and, I don't know. But
yeah, Siri's kind of exclusive so far. She really needs to open up a little bit.
Yeah, iOS 9, baby.
Maybe.
That'll be fun with the additional search stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you mean on the TV?
Well, no, that's...
Well,
that's
we're not going to cover rumors. I've been very authoritarian about not doing rumors. We'll cover it when it's actual news.
Yeah.
So speaking of Apple, they're doing an event next week, which we'll talk about next week. Because there's a lot of rumors that are probably true that we could talk about now, but I'm not going to. Unless you guys want to. Okay,
no,
great.
No, it'll take forever.
Yeah. So Gazelle is a company that buys back old iPhones and phone parts and things, if you haven't heard of them. They're great when you want to get a new phone and you need some money to go toward it. They are debuting a best price guarantee for iPhone 5S, 6, and 6 Plus right before the launch of the new iPhone 6S or 7, whatever they end up calling it. You can go to gazelle.com and trade in your iPhone, and you'll get the best price there. What'd you say?
It has to be 6S or 6 Plus. They can't now actually go back to a reasonable naming thing.
Did you see the marketing company in New York named 6S Marketing that wants them to not use 6S?
Oh, boy. Yet another trademark lawsuit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it'll be a trademark lawsuit, but I think it's just a courtesy to this company. Because even, like, if you think about SEO, that company's not going to be like findable on the web now because of this the iPhone 6S.
Hang on. Why is it 6S? Like every other iPhone, there's been there was the 3G and then the 3GS and then the 4 and the 4S. So if we've got the 6 and the 6 Plus, are you sure that we'd have a 6S as well? Isn't that just like three iterations of the 6?
It'll be the 6S and 6S Plus.
Yeah.
Jinx. Wow. Okay, that's really granulated. I thought they would just jump to the 7 after the 6.
Well, it could be the Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge Plus, which is a lot more. So I feel like they can do 6S Plus fine, but I don't know.
We'll see.
I mean, they may do something crazy. Like when the iPad came out, the third iPad, we're now doing rumor cast. This is exactly what I didn't want to do.
Accidental rumor cast.
It's good. It's good. When the iPad came out, the third one, they just called it the new iPad. They stopped numbering it. Everyone else numbered it, but they didn't. And so they could do something like that to avoid the 6S Plus conundrum.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. We'll away from rumors now. So did we finish up the Gazelle thing?
Yeah. Okay. Also from Apple, and this is actually from Apple, they launched a gaming-focused Twitter feed. So if you're on Twitter, if you follow @AppStore, that is an Apple account that tweets out different apps and deals and things. They just released this week App Store Games, and it's specific to games on the App Store. And people think that this is a big deal because of the timing. Next week, they're gonna announce that games are coming to Apple TV, or like an App Store
possibly
is coming to Apple TV.
According to rumors.
Possibly. And so it could be a really big deal. I think it's kind of weird if it's not that. Because I'm not going to follow App Store Games just because I don't know why I would do that. But hey, if you're into that, follow App Store Games. Also, in a bit of sort of random news, Sony's PS4 update that's coming out is going to add YouTube streaming. We talked about last week, YouTube gaming. They're adding that to the PS4, which could be pretty interesting. And they're increasing the cloud storage on those devices. And finally, Hulu has finally bit the bullet and allowed for you to subscribe to them without ads. I always thought it was weird that you had to pay and also watch ads on Hulu. Well, now if you'll add $4 a month to your subscription plan, you can get no ads. So they're going to have the $8 tier, which includes ads, which is the normal thing, and then a $12 tier per month, which is no ads. And then Amazon Prime is allowing you to download videos and watch them offline, which nobody has done yet in terms of Netflix, Hulu, those kind of companies have not allowed you to download videos offline. But if you have an Android or an iPhone device, you can now download Android Prime videos to watch offline, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that's all I got for Tech You Should Know this week.
Great. Now with Tech You Should Use, this week we're going to talk about Pocket. If you haven't heard of Pocket, Pockets are an amazing technology that have been around about since the invention of pants. You can place your phones in them. You can...
Nice work.
Well done.
No, but seriously, for the tech, it is an app that tries to act like a pocket, hence its name, where instead of a physical pocket, it is your digital pocket. You can store basically any web page that you know of that you want to go back to. You're like, oh, that's an interesting article, but I don't have time to read it. You put it in your pocket, it'll download it to your phone so you can read it when you're sitting somewhere and you don't want to use your data plan or whatever. You have it available offline and ready to read whenever you want it. It helps you with remembering, oh, I wanted to read that, but read something, but I don't know what it was. So you just check your pocket. I have all these articles that I thought were interesting. Let's start reading some. So yeah. I can store images, videos, articles. Yeah. So what do you guys think of Pocket?
Can it store digital lint? Like, does it collect digital lint? Is that a thing? Or
you could probably make a feature request.
If you add as many articles to Pocket as I do from Twitter that you never read, it might as well be digital lint.
So, do you guys use Pocket? I do. I live and die by Pocket. It's awesome.
I've used it before in the past. I kind of recently have switched to Evernote, but there was no real good reason for that. I just kind of like the interface a little bit better and stuff, but I think Pocket's awesome as well. Same kind of idea.
Yeah, I've used Pocket for a long time now. What am I reading? Oh, I'm looking up other, like, the alternatives to Pocket and stuff. Ben's going to get on me for looking at my phone again.
yeah, I was anyway. Just kidding. I typed it in our chat. I didn't think you'd say it out loud.
Sorry. So I've used Pocket for a while. I actually hooked it up to If This Then That a while back. There are some RSS feeds that I kind of want to see everything that comes from them. Basically tumblers, but with GIFs, mostly GIFs. But yeah, so you can hook it up to If This Then That. Like if you favorite something on Feedly or something, then it goes directly to Pocket if you're scrolling through your RSS feed. And there's all sorts of different things you can do with that. So shout out to If This Then That, IFTT.com. But yeah.
There's three T's.
Yeah, three T's.
IFTTT.
Oh, sorry. IFTTT. IFTTTT. So, yeah, I know there's other alternatives. I used to use Instapaper back in the day.
Instapaper.
Yeah, and there's also Instapaper readability. But Pocket's really great. I don't really have I wouldn't really recommend you go try something else.
I love Pocket. I have like 9 things in my pocket right now, and I try to clear it out every week. It's awesome. But it's how I like stay up on the news and stuff and read interesting articles about Christian education from Desiring God and things like that. Mm-hmm. They're just really long that I don't have time for right now. They just released version 6 for Pocket across all devices, which recommends articles to you to save, which was a pretty big step away from their core business for Pocket. Because now they're recommending things you can save to you can also save to your pocket based on what's in it, which I thought was kind of cool. It's been helpful so far.
Do you know where they get
those
recommendations? Like, what is, how do they know? Do they recommend other stories from sites you've been to, or do they just say, this guy's reading about Christian stuff, let's give him some great article by popular pastor we don't like?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's based on what else is saved in Pocket universally. But I could be wrong. That was my assumption, because where else would they get the information from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my thought too, is that it's just reading everyone else's pockets. And
it's just kind of creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's like sticking your hand down somebody's pocket. It's terrible.
Get your eyes out of my pocket. This got awkward really quickly.
Yeah. I don't really have much more to say. Pocket's great. Go use it. I mean, you can check out Instapaper and Readability and whatnot if you want to. There's other alternatives, but if you frequently find yourself like not being able to, or like getting trapped into your phone by all these articles people are posting either on Twitter or Facebook, it's harder to get articles out of Facebook, but you can just
isn't that
throw
super
it in
annoying?
Pocket for later.
I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I get sucked into Facebook every time, is just reading what people post. Like that. Craig's nodding his head fervently over there.
I more struggle with, I see one, but I don't want to read it right now, but it really looks interesting, so it's helpful.
That's what I do.
In my sense of, like, oh, I can just store it, come back, there it is.
Yeah, have a morning routine.
Yeah, Pocket's great because it's got apps on every sort of platform. Like, there's a great Mac app, good iPhone app, there's a web app, there's Android apps, it's great. Is there a Windows Phone app, Tank?
I can't remember.
Pocket I'll get back Windows to you on that.
Why don't you just look it up on your Windows Phone right now?
Well, interesting story. I threw my Windows Phone in a river.
Oh.
I said...
It was that bad, huh?
I wanted to test if I was truly nomophobic or not, so I could put it in a canoe and tip the canoe, and now it no longer works.
That's commitment.
Yeah. It was an accident, but
yeah, that's
my wife thinks I just did it so I can get an Android phone, so that's it may be a fair assessment.
Did you say so you can get an iPhone?
An Android phone.
Oh, an iPhone. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Last time I used an iPhone... Last time I used an iPhone, it didn't wake me up in the morning.
Yeah,
that was
man.
About an hour ago now.
Try Android then. See how you go. Oh, that's cool. Well, it's not cool, but, you know, new phones are always cool, so.
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad. Looking forward to getting one again, though.
But. So you think you are going to get an Android phone? Do you have something that your eyes are set on?
Yeah, have you heard of the OnePlus? OnePlus One, OnePlus Two?
Yep. Yes.
I learned that really early on.
The what? What was that, Craig?
That OnePlus One and OnePlus Two. Like, I learned that stuff really early on. Is that what you're talking about, or is that a phone? Okay.
Yeah. Two and three. Yeah. I just
learned that along with our alphabet.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's an Android phone. It's supposed to be a flagship killer. They're supposed to make it really powerful and at the same time really cheap. Well, really cheap is relative. It's $300. So I've heard a lot of good things about it. I like the price point. So it'll be my first powerful smartphone.
All right.
That's an exciting jump. Yeah.
There's going to be a new Tank coming out because he's going to actually have a smartphone. Let's move into theology from the headlines.
Wait. Before we get started on this, I just want to say thank you for not staging an intervention. I promise I've been better this week with my nomophobia.
It's all good.
That sounded good. Really like an ad read for a second.
I think I'm down below 100 now, so, you know, it's a good feeling.
Should we redo the test this week? That was a joke. I really don't want to do that.
No. Oh, that goodness. Was probably the most boring radio we could go podcast we could come up with, to especially if we redid it. I think we'd.
What are you talking about? It was such a fun game, Craig.
It was not a game. A test is not
we
a game.
Played a game for the first time in three episodes. It was so fun.
We've got to get better at games. Anyway, we'll fix that later. That's one thing.
So theology from the headlines this week is on drones.
Yay!
Woo!
Those flying things that
make that noise.
Yeah, and they're not typically autonomous yet, I guess. You usually have to control them, don't you?
Yeah, yes. That would be the thing with drones as opposed to robots, I think, definitionally, is that drones would be controlled by, like, they are not autonomous, it seems to me.
And they're always droning on, you know? no one else thought that was funny.
That okay, needed well. A sad trombone sound effect.
What? Somebody give us like an intro. What is a drone? Derek, what is a drone?
A drone is a piece of tech. What we think of as drones right now is really flying things that are unmanned aircraft that are either delivering packages or, like, my brother-in-law has these little tiny, like, 3-inch long quadricopters that are, like, can fly. And you can obviously get bigger ones like the Parrot, Parrot AR. And now, really, Amazon is making a splash, of course, with these drones that they want us to use for delivery. What they want to use for delivery and have us receive them for delivery. So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of a big topic at the moment.
Yeah, it is really a hot topic in the tech realm these days. Definitely with legislation and privacy concerns and things like that. You've got states like California is passing a bill that because of privacy concerns, they're trying to ground the drones over residential areas from Amazon and Google and things like that. And then obviously there are military uses for drones, which we probably won't get into much. But apparently one military drone did help find a missing school teacher.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's cool.
Good work, drone.
So on the delivery drones, we just said a moment ago that a drone is controlled by somebody. Does that mean there's going to be many Amazon employees who are flying, controlling where all these drones go?
I guess those
autopiloted?
Nah, I don't know.
I think they were talking about employees controlling them, weren't they? Maybe?
Oh, I figured it'd be a computer.
Yeah, I was thinking it's a computerized system. It's not like they're sitting there with controllers at Amazon HQ, like just millions of Amazon workers just flying drones all the time.
But I imagine it would be like a pipeline. Those are controlled back in it from a control room with a bunch of computers.
Yeah,
but,
right. They're kind of
be like that with drones.
They're extensions of a mothership, so to speak. They're not in and of themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot more concerns and issues if they were sentient, I think. At this point,
yeah,
I think we'll
robots
get there, but I think
at this
right
point,
now
there'd
it's
be a big issue there.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the possibility of, while we're talking about delivery, I was just thinking, I mean, you wouldn't do it obviously from America or Australia to somewhere because there's lots of water in between, but if you were in a country that was neighboring a country that was maybe hostile to the gospel or something, maybe delivering Bibles and things like that across borders or even into areas within a country that are hard to get into or unsafe to go to. What do you guys think about that kind of thing? Like, do you think there's a valid use for drones in that kind of situation, or is that too far-fetched?
So I think you just came up with a great nonprofit organization.
Yep, that's one of the things I thought of this week too with drones, about how could we maybe like redeem the technology. Was delivering Bibles or something like that. I do wonder about price, though, because some of the cheapest consumer drones that are actually, like, you could actually fly them in a situation like the one you described are probably in the thousands of dollars. Like, they make cheap ones for a couple hundred, but I don't think you could deliver things with it. I think the most you would want to do is maybe, like, film something.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about one that's beefy enough to carry something and to withstand sort of the environments, wind, rain, whatever, that kind of stuff. You think you'd be spending quite a bit of money. I don't know how many you would need, though, to do something like that. You don't need a whole fleet of drones to deliver Bibles to a tribe in Africa or something.
Yeah,
right?
No, I mean, I think you'd be delivering like a crate at a time, like a box of books.
Yeah, that's going to have to be pretty big, though.
So it would have to be pretty big. Like, the weight would be an issue, I suppose. Unless you were doing like those little New Testaments or something, and you did them in smaller sections, I don't know.
Like the Gideon Bibles?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Gideon drones, guys! That's where we're headed. The Gideons are going to be drones.
Mighty drones of valor? Is that the kind of thing where?
Yes.
They just drop one on That's you from awesome. The skies whenever you leave a hotel.
I think we just got an episode title: Mighty Drones of Valor.
Done.
that's cool. Is there any, what else were you thinking about that issue, Ben? Like, is there anything else that you particularly sort of came up with this week when you were thinking about this?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about sort of the privacy aspect of it. I think that's kind of a hot button right now on this topic. People are concerned that, you know, so let me set us up. When we talk about the ground, as a landowner, you own a certain, you know, footage down below your house, and then sort of the government owns below that for sewage and things like that, or, you know, kind of that sort of framework. Amazon wants to do the same thing with the sky above your house. So for a few feet, you would own it because you own the land. But then above that, maybe commercial would own that. So they'd fly their drones there. And then above that would be like the government agencies that want to fly drones, if there are any. And then above that might be like airliners. And so they kind of want to cut it up like a cake, one of the articles talked about this week. Obviously, there are concerns with people flying only 100 feet, 100 or so feet above my house, that they could record me or something like that. Maybe I'm in my backyard, and kind of like Google Street View, or Google Earth, I mean. And so people are kind of up in arms about that when we talk about drones.
Ain't nobody taking my piece of sky cake. Can't take the sky from me.
Piece of sky cake. That's a good episode title, too, though.
Yeah, honestly.
So what do you think about privacy?
These people who are concerned about privacy. I mean, I personally, I can't care less. I was always taught from when I was young and when like the internet was kind of towards its infancy, that from my parents, you know, never put anything on the internet that you don't want the front page of the newspaper to see, which with like the especially like the Ashley Madison whole thing right now is a great example of why you just should not do things that you don't want other people to, you know, don't do immoral things, guys. Don't, yeah. But especially not on the internet. And that's also kind of trickled through my life too. Just that attitude of, you know, don't do anything you don't want other people to know about. I mean, of course, there's things like if you're talking with sensitive issues with, you know, friends or whatever, you know, you don't blast. You can still talk about that, but anyway, I just don't see why privacy is such a huge thing, unless we're going into an era of religious persecution, which I know a lot of people are a little bit fear-mongery about right now. But yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah, I tend to agree on the privacy concerns, just that we've become so individualized, at least in America, where, like, it's like we idolize privacy almost. Like, I just want no one to know what I'm doing just for the sake of no one knowing what I'm doing. Like, it's not like I'm even doing anything bad. I just don't want anyone to know. Like, why? Why does it matter? I don't understand.
I agree.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't want Google to know I'm a software developer, but that's about the extent of. I just know I've talked about that before.
You raising but your I don't own know. Inconsistency I mean, here, if, Ben?
What's that?
Are you raising your own inconsistencies here?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I mean, I don't. If they're going to sell me ads anyway, which is like Google's main business stream, why would I not want them to sell me better ads? Like, it just seems obvious to me. I don't know. But I understand that there are real privacy concerns, of course, with drones.
Like, you don't want to be uploading your... Well, yeah, going off of before you put it back to drones, which is what we're actually talking about. Like, there, but obviously, you don't want to be uploading your Social Security information to the internet where it's not encrypted 47 different times. Or even then, you want to be really careful about that stuff. But, yeah, generally speaking, I mean... This I feel like this is where we really need to lean on the sovereignty of God for this stuff. Because if something bad's going to happen to us, if we get, or even if we start getting persecuted because these drones are finding us praying in our living rooms or something in the next 40, it just seems ridiculous to me. But if that were to happen, you know, Paul does talk about the fact that persecution is something we should find joy in, that being persecuted for the sake of Christ is a privilege. So This is my thought.
Yeah, that's good.
Craig, what were you going to say about privacy?
Yeah, I think privacy is an issue like everyone's already talked about. I want to try and keep this brief because I feel like I've talked too much so far this episode. So apologies for that, guys, already. But I think privacy is an issue, and there are things we can do to safeguard against that, like you guys have already talked about, not doing certain things that it's not difficult to realize would be a bad idea, like social security and all that kind of thing. Obviously, keep those details to yourself. I feel like in Australia, we're a little bit less concerned about, we don't feel like the government's watch. I mean, you know, people always still complain about the government not doing good enough or not doing well enough in certain areas, but I don't feel like we have the same kind of fear publicly that we're being watched as a people group, and that we're under scrutiny all the time. And maybe that's because drones aren't here yet in the same way that they are in America in terms of being talked about, being used by the government for those kinds of things. But I think ultimately, I was thinking about this just this afternoon, and as I knew that we were going to be talking about this topic, and I was just kind of thinking, you know, what do I think about that, and how much of an issue is it? And I think over the last few weeks, we've kind of been talking about a few issues that have got a little bit heavy, and I was thinking, what, you know, is there any positives to drones? Is there anything from a Christian perspective that I can look at this topic and go, what do I think about this biblically? What is it? Is there anything that's edifying or whatever that I can sort of bring out of it? Just a couple of things that I thought would be worth highlighting. The main one, I guess, being that like Derek was talking about, the sovereignty of God, which we've talked about other weeks, it's super important for us to remember. And Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." So just remembering that we have a God who sees everything, and even though we might, when it's the government who sees everything, we get kind of worried about that and concerned, and we might have good reasons for that. But ultimately, I think there's kind of this twofold thing with knowing that God sees everything and knows what's going on and is in control of everything, because you've got, I guess if you find yourself sinning, or, you know, if you are convicted of sin, then it can be a kind of a scary realization to know that God knows your heart and he knows everything about what's going on in your life, good and bad. But it's also at other times, it's a great comfort to know that there is a God who sees everything and knows what we're going through and is always with us and never leaves us and that kind of thing. And that also took me through to thinking about Psalm 139, where it talks about, you know, "Oh Lord, you've searched me and know me, you know, when I sit down and when I rise, you discern my thoughts from afar, you're acquainted with all my ways." And then he goes on to talk about, the psalmist talks about how, you know, God knitted us together in our mother's womb, and we need to praise God because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know, yeah. "So your eyes saw my unformed substance; in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." So that idea that God has known us so intimately from before we even appeared as humans on this earth, that in a recognizable form, that he's the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. That kind of says to me that he has a right to know what's going on, and he does know what's going on in our lives. And like I said, that can be scary at times, but ultimately I think it brings an amazing level of comfort.
On the note of having a loving father who is all-knowing and ever-present, I have to say, because this was a huge part of my conversion and testimony, looking back, just the promise that Jesus says, "I will never leave you or forsake you," and he actually means it, and he actually keeps that promise to those of us who are going to be co-heirs with him in the new creation. That was like a huge part of my conversion, like I said, just at a time when it's kind of like, I mean, I've had a really easy life, but relative to my life, I was in sort of a time of crisis where it felt like everything that had any kind of permanence was gone. And I really just came to the words of Jesus again, and found contentment that he'll never leave or forsake me, was such a comfort at that point. I also wanted to ask Tank something. Derek was saying, and I tend to agree, you know, if you're worried about privacy, just don't do immoral stuff. Like, I kind of think it's somewhat that simple too, most of the time. But I was wondering, Tank, what you thought about that, because is it practical for us to say, you know, just quit doing immoral stuff? Like, everybody just stop being immoral and we won't have to worry about our own privacy. What do you think about that?
Well, that's actually interesting that you asked me that, because I've been sitting here trying to understand the other side of why people are worried about their privacy, where that comes in. And so looking at the other side, I started to realize that it's easy for me to not fear privacy. So I'm the stereotypical person that doesn't get prejudiced based off of my skin color or my...
prejudice.
That's
prejudice,
not a real word.
Nobody prejudices against me.
Yeah, that's better. Nobody holds prejudice against me, I think would be... I don't know. Anyway, yep, continue.
I don't know either. You guys know what I'm trying to say. Based off of my skin color, based off of my gender, job, all those kind of things, nobody's going to be out to get me, most likely. But looking from it from another standpoint, for the sake of those people that, you know, they say the NSA can, like, listen to your phone records and everything, I would say it's understandable that there would be a real fear that people could build up a lot of evidence against you to make a case when you're not really doing anything wrong. And it just leads into, the role that everything goes back to Hitler in an argument. But it goes back to the story of Nazi Germany, where there's the famous quote, "They took the Jews and I didn't say anything. And then they took the other people and I didn't say anything. And then they took the other people and I didn't say anything. And then they came to take me and there was no one left." And so it's really easy, I think, for us not to fear privacy concerns, because what's the worst that could happen to us? Really nothing. But if we really look on it on a global standpoint, then there is reason to say, like, well, if this road continues to be followed down, what could they do with the information to certain people? And then if they're doing it to them, they could go one more step and then one more step. So I think I can see where the privacy concern comes from, I suppose. So that's what I've been thinking about while you guys have been talking, trying to understand that other side of it.
Yeah, and nice. I think it's a real concern. Like, I wasn't trying to make light of that or say it wasn't relevant at all. I just think, trying to work out. I guess with God, we realize there's a different level of privacy, or privacy is less important with him, sort of thing. I don't know. I think that's kind of what I was trying to get at.
But yeah. Oh, yeah, it's completely different in our relationship with God and relationship with the government.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
The only things that God is going to use against us are things that he definitely should use against us, which is sin. And and that's one of the things that I talk about whenever I share the gospel is, like, I was talking to a friend recently who I said, "Do you believe that you're a sinner?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Why?" I said, "Well, I try to do good things. I try to be a good person." And this person believes in God. He's considering the belief in Jesus, and he understands the idea of heaven or hell. I said, "So you think when you stand before God at the end of time," and we of course believe in a judgment, I said, "when you stand before him at the judgment, do you really believe that you can stand before him and say, 'Yes, I've been a good person. There's no need to punish me.'" And he thought about that and basically said no, because when you really think about your own life, then there's a lot that we should be judged for. And thankfully the government doesn't know those kind of things, because if they tried to spread that around, then, you know, then it's like, let's publish everybody's personal life. That would make for some awkward work relationships.
Yeah.
But God does know all that, and thankfully he wants to save us from it and work through it with us rather than just use it against us.
Yeah, I think the idea that we can stop doing immoral things is unfortunately a fiction. Even though it seems so obvious on the the interwebs. But the reality is that we aren't bad people because we do bad things. We are bad people, and so we do bad things. And there's a huge nuanced difference there. But because of our nature, we can't help but sin. And so what we need is to be born again. We need Christ. We need his obedience to the law. We need his righteousness. We need his forgiveness for our sins. And that's the only way we can be right with God again. And that in restoring that right relationship with God, it restores our relationships with each other and with the earth as well. Because the fall broke all three, not just our relationship with God, but our interconnected relationships with each other and with the creation as well. Yeah, that is awesome. So beautiful. You guys, I love you guys. Let's move into recos. So, does anybody have any recommendations this week?
Well, if you're interested in starting a podcast and you're looking for mics, there is a fantastic one on sale right. I don't know if is it still on sale on Amazon, or is that like a one day thing?
I don't know. That's a good question. Let me look.
I don't know, but it is the ATR-2100-USB. And apparently, right. It sounds fantastic.
What's the brand? Audio Technica?
It's an Audio Technica, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It is really good. I'm impressed.
And man, I tell you, I thought like boom arms and pop filters were going to like cost me like $80. Like you'd have to get these super high quality ones, but they're like, you get $15 and you can get both of them. Like it's really, yeah. Or no, I guess it was $20 because the whole thing was like $60 and the mic was $40. So yeah, if you have a decent mic and you want to, boom arm and a pop filter. Just go get the boom arm and the pop filter. Just any generic one.
It is great. Still on sale, $40 instead of $80.
Yeah. So I guess that's my reco.
I might have to do this, man.
Yeah.
Do it. I'm thinking about it too.
Get rid of that iPhone microphone. Get rid of the iPhone earbuds.
Yeah. Anybody else got any recos?
I do.
Go.
If I could just jump in quick. Mine's an app. I know we've done a lot of apps, but yeah, whatever. What was it called? What was that thing that I needed?
Nomophobia?
Yeah. Apps are good for people with that, I suppose, because they use them a lot. But one that I found really good is really useful is called MLJ Sermons. If you don't know who MLJ is, that stands for Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was a Welsh preacher who spent a lot of time in England as well, pastoring Westminster Chapel. I recently finished, it was probably months ago now, probably 3 months ago or something, finished reading his biography by Ian Murray, and to say he inspired me would be a big understatement. So to have access to his sermons, which is what the app is, it's basically like an online, there's a website that's like an online storage facility for all his recorded sermons, basically, as far as I know. There's an app for it that just allows you to either search for a particular sermon or browse his collections, like his sermon series, or to view different topics. So it's just really helpful. Really good preacher, really solid teaching. If you haven't heard of Lloyd-Jones, or you have and just didn't realize that resource was available and in app form, definitely check it out.
Nice. I have two recos somewhat on topic in regards to drones. Number one, awesome 17-second YouTube video where an eagle attacks a drone out of the sky. It's the coolest thing ever. I watched it like 5 times when I first saw it. I'll put it in the show notes. It will change your life. Okay, actually. Totally really cool. Also, if you're into consumer drones on that side of things, I'm going to put a link in. It's like a The Verge did like a flowchart about what are you trying to do with your drone, which one should you get ultimately, and it's pretty neat. It's kind of quick. So if you're looking for a drone, it'd be a good place to start. I'd recommend the DJI Phantom 3 if you have the money, but it's kind of expensive, so enjoy that.
I will recommend canoeing. I went canoeing last weekend, and it was a blast. So if you've been spending too much time hanging out inside, playing with your drones, find a river and rent a canoe. Because my wife and I and a couple of our friends, we just went down a river, had 5 hours of partially yelling at the canoe because it would completely ignore the way we wanted to steer it, but also having good conversations. So it was a really good time. I also, on that topic, recommend sunscreen. Because, and recommend sunscreen on above your knee, because whenever you're sitting down, your swimsuit will move up on your leg and it will stop covering parts that it covers when you stand up.
So, oh, so you've got like a 3-inch sunburn on your leg, don't you?
Oh, it was so bad that I got out of bed in the morning and couldn't walk. I thought my legs were broken. Like, oh, I guess, man, my legs had to get stretched out or something, but it was so hard to put weight on them. So yeah, 5 hours, a redhead in the sun, just don't go well without strong sunscreen. So
have we said that you're a ginger before on the podcast?
I don't know.
I feel maybe. Like this is come
or a ranger.
Pray ranger, for our friend, yeah. Tank. He's a ginger. Ranger, he doesn't, yeah, have a soul.
He's a ranger in Australia.
A ranger. That's right.
For those of you Americans, for the record, who aren't in the show notes,
I'm putting a link to Wikipedia on canoeing and sunscreen for you, Tank. Just in case any of these reformed tech nerds that are listening to us don't know what those are, you can check that out and learn.
Indeed.
All right, well, I guess we should wrap this thing up. Do you guys want to do the contact? Everybody take one. Go.
You can find us on the web at techreformation.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at techreformation.
Or you can email us, ask@techreformation.com.
And finally, you can connect with us in Slack on slack.techreformation.com.
So that one's changed a bit, hasn't it, Tank? What was the story there with the Slack address seems to have changed from last week?
So yeah, Slack was made for work teams. So originally, I think that was the intent of it. And so it's very much invite only, because you don't want randos joining your team and seeing all your secret stuffs. So the problem with that we didn't realize at first is if you go to techreformation.slack.com and try to sign in, it will say that you haven't been invited to join this team. And then we would have to invite you, and then you could come back and join. So instead, we set up slack.techreformation.com, which is just a simple page where you can input your email and we will automate an invite getting sent to your email address. So if you go to that slack.techreformation.com, put in your email, hit join us, an email will be sent to you which will have the rest of the instructions to come hang out with us.
Thanks to our resident code monkey.
Yeah.
For hooking all that up for us. It was a workaround we had to do over the last week or so. We'll tweet out the link when we drop all these episodes so that hopefully folks will know where to go right off the bat. But yeah, thanks for listening. And if you like this music you're hearing right now, it's by Matthew Parker, and you can find him at soundcloud.com/eyesontheking. Hope you enjoy, and we'll see you next week, guys. We go to the ends of the earth.
So drones, typically what we think of with drones nowadays is basically aircraft, unmanned aircraft, essentially. So, you know, we have these little, like, my brother-in-law has these little tiny, like, 3-inch long quadricopters that are, like, can fly. And, crap, my train of thought is just gone.
You better recover, Ben. Come on, pull it together, man.
It's so funny.
It's not that bad.
Turn my video off, guys.
He didn't even mention the Middle East that time. That's it, I'm drinking my lemonade. Tell me when you want to start again.